Welcome to Different Ways Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce myself. I'm Tanya Hoffman. I'm the CEO and founder of the Public Speakers Association. And I truly love, love, love helping people get their message heard throughout the world. Because when you meet someone and you're like, oh my gosh, you just see this light shining inside of them. And you just know if they just got out of their own way and went out there, how many lives that they could change. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I know for myself, I had kind of heard the message come really clear one day. And it said, life, Tanya, is not about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. So that's a quote that I found. And I'm like, oh, so I didn't have to be looking for who I wanted to be. I had to just go out and create it. And then I heard the message really clear that I had to go out and change the world. And I remember hearing that and going, well, I'm just little Tanya. How could I possibly go out and change anybody? I could barely change myself. I was so in a victim mentality. I couldn't even imagine that people would want to listen to me. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I hear it from a lot of speakers. We almost feel like there's like an identity crisis, that people see more in ourselves than we see in ourselves. How sad is that, right? Because the reality is there is always someone out there that you can help. But they have to know you and they have to hear your message so they can identify that you're the person they've been looking for. And then it also has to equal into a sell. Because if you go and just help people without any monetization, what really starts happening is it's kind of this this weird thing, you know, when you actually have value on yourself and your message and what you can help people with, people then see the value back. You probably have experienced this where you gave someone some really awesome advice that you would normally like charge a lot of money for, and they were like, oh, that's nice. And then they never implemented on it. And you're like, what just happened? Because they didn't value that you just gave it to them for free. I know my husband and I, we've done so many websites for people. And every time we discounted it to like almost free or even had it free, you know, we're just really trying to help somebody out. The person never valued it. The more we charge, the more they had value in it, and the more they actually accomplish their goals for that website. Crazy, right? And not that every time someone, you know, buys something from you that they'll go, wow, I spent money and I'm going to get all the value out of it. Because there's a lot of times that people will buy something and never take advantage of it. I see in the Public Speakers Association, people join and then I never see them on a virtual summit. Like, you know, why should I have this spot open? I shouldn't be speaking at all, but then if someone didn't take advantage of it or be on my TV show or do one of the, you know, video series, you know, their story or the transformational tip series, you know, or take advantage of the ads on our website. So the people that usually value it the most and use it the most are the ones who actually end up with amazing, you know, things that happen, right? Things that create momentum for them. So when we look at getting your message out there, things that you have to really kind of, you know, digest for yourself. Okay. And people talk about target markets and, you know, things like that. When you start really looking at it, it's not a real target market that you're looking for. Because we want to avatar people. People are not avatars. Even though we may look adorable as an avatar, we are multifaceted. And so usually when I ask a room who's their target market, every single person says the exact same thing. I'm looking for women between the age of 35 and 65 that are making over $50,000 or, you know, more a year. That is not a person. What you want to look at is really deciding what kind of person you wanting to attract to you, so that when they hear your message and they see your product or service, they go, oh my gosh, that's the person I was looking for. So what kind of person is it that you need to attract to you? And more importantly, what kind of person do you want to repel from you? You're like, don't even come over here. And it has very little to do with their age, the way they look, ethnicities, right? For me, it's more of a value system. So for example, for the Public Speakers Association and for when I take on clients to coach them on creating an entire speaking career, okay? So the first thing that I do when I'm looking for, you know, that perfect person is A, what are their value proposition as far as, are they nice? Because to me, I don't want to work with anyone who's mean and grumpy and negative and right? I want people that are like, I'm ready. I could do this. I'm scared, but I could do this. And I want to go out and I really want to change lives and I really want to help people. It is not just transactional. They actually want to build relationships. So to me, this is my avatar, the person I want to attract to me. Now, a lot of people are like, well, that, why wouldn't anyone want that? Well, I have talked to people. They do not care. I had one lady, I was like, yeah, I only want nice people. And she's like, oh, well, send me everyone else. I was like, okay, right? She has a different value proposition, which is fine because there's different types of people out there and they should find a home for themselves. So you have to look at, what kind of relationships do you want with people? Because I see a lot of people, they say they want to build relationships with their clients, but everything they do from their website to their email marketing to their social media is transactional. And they wonder why they have a hard time building a community that looks like them. Now, why do I really know this? Because I built the wrong community for a while. When I first got started, I started a networking group organization. And at first it was like all the people that I just adored, right? They were like perfect people. But then my messaging got muddled and I started attracting all kinds of people. And then I started attracting people that were mean and that were super negative and that were, you know, extremely grumpy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just created the wrong community. But what's really great news is you can adjust and clear out and attract better. So yay, right? So lots of things to go over today. And what's exciting is this is an extra long presentation. So we're going to go really dive deep into each area. So the first thing you have to look at is what is those core value propositions that's going to become your rules. So if you go to the Public Speakers Association, one of our big banners that rotates says you have to be nice and you can't be perfect. And I have an underlying rule that I don't really publicize a lot, and that is no elitism, because that just, you know, irks me. So what is your core value proposition? And I always kind of find a lot of people's, you know, their rules by saying, well, who do you not want to attract? What drives you crazy? What's like your pet peeves when people do these things? It just like irritates you. Because you may want to attract people that are wanting to be more perfect, you know, have that perfection kind of viewpoint. Those may be the perfect people for you. For me, it drove me crazy. You know, I have a speech impediment that's kind of like dyslexia. So typing and, you know, writing out things, grammar and spelling is just, you know, it's kind of a weak point. And, you know, it's great if people want to, you know, kind of digest my website and find things that are spelled wrong. So I don't have to. But the people that were nasty about it, I'm like, okay, if you're wanting me to be perfect, I cannot be perfect. So really, I want to attract people who are okay not being perfect with me. Okay, so you find your pet peeve, and then you make a rule to keep those people out. And it really is. You think through what irritates you about certain people, because those are the people you want to stay away from you. Right? You know, if you're a speaker and you're, you know, standing in front of 100 people, or you're on a webinar and you're talking to 100 people, or you do a social media post and you're doing a post to 100 people, or Facebook ad to 100 people, whatever it is, right? We'll just take 100 people. 25% of those people are not going to like you. I know. It just still makes me tremble. Because I'm like, what is there not to like? How could you not like me? But before, I would fret on it so bad that I would then start to sabotage myself. Because I thought, well, there must be something wrong with me if they don't see how fabulous I am. So there must be something wrong if they don't like me. And I would try to adjust, change myself. And I can tell you that never works. Because the bottom people who don't like you, they're just not going to like you for whatever their reason is. You should then be focused on the top 25%. The top 25% love you as soon as they hear you, as soon as they hear your message, they see you on video, they hear you on audio, they see you in person, whatever it is, right? They see a message that comes from you and they're like, I love this person. Those are the people you want to focus on. Those are the people that are going to be ready to buy from you. Those are the people that are going to be part of your community forever. Those are the people that are going to give you testimonials. These are people that will change your course of your life and your business. These are the people your message will resonate in their ears. It'll sound like sweet music. So stop focusing on the bottom and focus on the top. Because realistically, those bottom 25% that don't like you, guess what? You don't like them either. So why focus on the negativity? And I can say, I know how hard it is, because for myself, I naturally draw to negativity just from past histories of things that have happened. You know, I've gone through cancer. I've been robbed and tied up when I was 6 months pregnant. And those are the okay things that have happened to me. So I've gone through pretty much anything you can think of, and I don't want to go through anything else. But this is just life. And I realized that most of my life, I was hiding myself because I was stuck in the victim mentality. I was stuck in the, you know, the wah, the whining of myself. So I know how easy it is to go towards that negativity. And even to this day, I have to really watch myself. But it's totally doable. And a lot of it is helpful to pull yourself away, right, to the ability to connect. You also want to watch who you actually partner with, okay? So you're joint venturing, or just collaborating with others. You're in maybe a networking organization or a mastermind group, you know, things like that, where you're working with other people. You've got to make sure that the people you're surrounding yourself with also have the same, pretty much the same values. Because if not, they also attract their own peeps. So if they are attracting people that have their values and you don't like their values, you need to get away from that person, like really fast. So for an example, 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now, my husband had gone blind. Okay, talk about a life-changing moment. And I had to really look at adjusting everything in my life. Right after that, our house was completely destroyed by a water pipe bust that when we walked in after being gone for 3 days on a little camping trip, it was literally raining on the inside of our house. Now, when both of these things happened simultaneously, you know, back to back, I went into a negative place, even though from the surface, it looked like Tiny had it all together. On the inside, I could feel things had changed for me, right? I could feel that I was gravitating to negativity, because what happened is I started accepting speaking opportunities in a way that I didn't get to know those people the way I usually do. Because I usually try to make sure the people that I'm gonna go speak at their events that we have kind of an alignment. So I just was like trying to get away from, you know, kind of the escape mod, right? You're trying to get inside the escape pod and you know, jettison just other places. And so I accepted a lot of speaking gigs that when I got there, I was like, what is wrong with these people? And it didn't dawn on me until my conference that year, which was about 6 months later. And I was sitting there and I was with some of my friends, and they're both of all of us just like, what is wrong with your audience this year? And I'm like, I have no idea. And I had to go and do some really kind of soul searching. Have you done that before? Yeah. You're like, okay, Tanya, what is going on? And that's when I realized and I admitted to myself that I did it. I totally did it to myself. I went to all these speaking gigs where they were all transactional speakers and they weren't relationship speakers. So I thought, it's weird that I'm the only speaker besides the person putting on the event that's staying to be a part of the event the entire time. Everyone else was like flying in, flying out. You know, they'd be on stage and they were gone. I'm like, what are they doing? What is up with these people? And then, of course, then that's what the audience then gravitates to that. And so that's who ended up being at my conference, was people that did not fit me nor my organization. And my friends, right? So it was a big wide opening for me to take a hard look and to change, transform, move along. You don't get upset with yourself. You just learn from yourself. So I love the word tweaking. You just constantly are tweaking in life. You know, when we help people with their website development, it's like we create something and then we tweak and we never stop tweaking. Especially if you look at really anything that we do, people get bored. You know, Michael and I used to own two retail stores in Houston way back in the day. We closed them up in 99. We had them for 7 years. And even though we did $1 million a year in the stores, it didn't translate into a lot coming home because there's just so much overhead. That's why I love this new world of ours with the internet. It's so amazing. So when we looked at, you know, the stores and developing our websites and, you know, everything back then, there was no website. So you just didn't do it back then, right? I mean, you just, computers were just kind of getting going. I mean, we're still on dial-up, right? So when we had our stores, we had to change things all the time, move things around, bring in new displays, always had something new so that when the person walked in again, they had a different experience. People get bored and they get bored quickly. So that taught us that when we start creating websites for people, because my husband is so brilliant at that and driving traffic and everything, that we realized that even for myself, I get a new picture. You know, I go to the photographer about every 6 months, a year max, because you do look different. Not just hair color changes and the length changes, but you physically look different because you also grow in confidence, you grow in personality. There's just things that happen in 6 months, definitely in a year. So that means new branding, right? You're now putting your new picture on all social media. It's like all over the place. You're doing all these different things. Plus, your websites need to always look different. So like right now, I'm about to redo the Public Speaker Association website again. And every time I do, I get this big, huge, oh my gosh, your website looks fabulous. Oh my God, thanks. It's also a great reason to, you know, you gotta, you know, whenever you change something, now you can talk about it on social media. So it's also great marketing, but people kind of expect it. They kind of expect things to be a little different when they go there. So when you start really kind of looking at that, how are you going to adjust for your future and growth? If you're trying to market yourself and get your message heard and get your products seen, you know, your products or services, it means that you've always got to adjust for yourself and your growth. So it's never about doing one thing and then go, okay, I did that. It's always about readjusting. And it's also great to have a team. You know, when people hire us to help them with their email marketing and, you know, you start looking at the whole realm of speakers, right? So say if I take somebody through the entire I want to become a speaker project, right? And creating an entire business around that. So I was just talking to a gentleman yesterday. I met him at a convenience store. He was handing me a, yes, I bought a cranberry muffin. Yes, I did. It was very good. And so he was handed, and he just had this incredible smile. And we just started talking. And then I said, you don't look like you should be serving muffins. And he laughs. He's like, no, actually, I want to start my own business. I'm like, oh, well, let me talk to you. So we had this great conversation just yesterday on the phone. And what people get stuck in is not looking at how to simplify their business. And at the same time, how are you going to get that message seen where it's universal, meaning that your rules of engagement, right? What kind of people are you wanting to draw in? Your pictures that you're using also gravitate to you, and that you can continue to adjust from there. That's the big play. That's how you can make things really adjust in your life. That's how you can create a lot of momentum. So don't just look at, how am I going to become a world-class speaker, or just I want to get my message heard about my dry cleaning business, or whatever it is. You know, I'm a great realtor. I need more people to see that. It's always about you. And then it's always about tweaking you to the next moment and creating momentum in your life and on through your social media, through your website, through all your, you know, kind of attraction marketing. So to find out more about how you can go out there and change lives and to find new clients at the same time, go to simplyattract.com and have a conversation with us. There's a little pop-up window that pops up and you can kind of check it out and, you know, have a conversation with Michael or myself and, you know, take that next step. It doesn't hurt to just have a free conversation and see what we can see that you're missing.